been still going back to four.
Okay. Because we haven't had any update from him or so I'll try and get in touch with them and find out what's going on and see what kind of feedback we get, and then we'll know better if we should keep supporting them or look for someone new. I'll do that this week and see what happens. Then we'll go from there. And any input? Anyone hear from any of them? Okay. All right, then we'll leave it at that. Okay. Thank you, Wyndham. Get started this morning. And, as always, we'll take prayer requests. But I know that you're all prayed up. You've been praying for one another. And you've had a blessed week. You've been out witnessing. And what I like to do, other than I was going to say go to Dunkin' Donuts, but you know that. I have a parking spot that I park in usually. And if somebody else is there, especially if they're an out-of-stater, I check the plates. I went in the one day, and someone from Michigan or somewhere was in there. And I told him, I says, you know, being a Yankee, you shouldn't be parking in that spot. And they look at me, you know. I says, I'm an old man, and I've got to walk from way across that parking lot to come in here, and you're in my private parking area. So it opens up an opportunity to talk to people. And I use that, and I usually end up giving them a gospel tract. Sometimes, like a guy was in there yesterday, and he had a shirt on. It had Romania on there. Now, I didn't think he was from Romania, and I figured if he wasn't, he was either a sports fan or he was on a mission trip over there. So I asked him, are you from Romania? He says, no, I was on a mission trip. And that opened it up for a conversation. And many times it'll just work out that way. Now, I was parked, when I was parked across there, there was a Jeep parked next to me, the big wheels, nice, beautiful Jeep. And so the woman come out, and I opened my window. I says, hey, I says, what's a short little girl like you doing with a big old Jeep like that? And she says, well, I've got three big, those big dogs that carry the water. Yeah, St. Bernards. And they fit in here. So we talked for a second, and I says, well, that's great. And I give her a gospel tract. And most of the people are receptive about that. And, you know, one of these days I may get punched out by saying, you're in my spot, you know. But it's, you take any and every opportunity that you have to witness to somebody. And it's a blessing. And God will give you those times when you're down that you're able to witness, and he just says, what are you down for? You know, you're saved. You got a home in heaven. You'll be with me. So why are you down? Then you say, you know, I was thinking that. You're right, Lord. And go on from there. But it does give you an opportunity to witness. And I encourage you to take every opportunity to witness. You'll get a blessing from it. It may get you in the book to learn more, because some people will have questions. And as I told you, I get questions from people all over. The latest one was Does God speak to you audibly today? Or does He speak to you in dreams? How does God speak to you today? How are you going to answer that? You got many people today that says God speaks to them. And you know, if they're really pushing their way, I'll say, what kind of voice is it? Is it male or female voice? And is it English? Is it Hebrew? What is it? What's the language? How's God speaking to you? And then had another opportunity to talk to another man, and he was telling me his testimony. He says, I was a Presbyterian to begin with. He says, then I went to Episcopal, and then I went to a Methodist. I says, well, basically, they're all the same. They're all out of the Roman Church. So then he says, I finally ended up in a Baptist church where I found out that Jesus Christ is the only one that can wash your sins away through His shed blood. And then he got saved as a result. So take the opportunity to witness. It's encouraging for you yourself, if nothing else. And so that's about all. And, you know, my encouragement to you. We'll go with prayer request and start out with your kids. Okay.
I don't know if y'all know her, Miss Margaret. She came a couple of times. Her daughter, I've been doing a little bit of work for her, and she came to the garage yesterday, all frank, upset. Her grandson, perfectly fine, had two ball games yesterday, no problem. She started having seizures. I'm going to have to rush him to Baptist, so.
Okay. And pray for that situation also. All right, anyone else? Floyd?
Yeah, I've got a few here. First, I'd like to ask the class to pray for some of these children that have come to Vacation Bible School. And I had a couple of little girls that told me they would come this morning. Of course, they did. They go to a Lutheran church. And figured they didn't ask their moms at the time they said it, or their dad. So I figured when that time come around, they would pray for the parents.
Yeah. Yep.
Because a lot of parents are looking at their children and saying, no, you're not going to go there. And I think the parent of these little girls used to come here.
Okay.
That's the ones I'm thinking. They used to come here. And I don't know, I don't understand sometimes how people can just walk away from hearing the truth to go to something else. But, and just pray for that situation. Pray that we can go out. And I've got this desire in my heart. I know that I'm soon going to have to come up and have surgery on my knee. That's a given. And there is nobody that's going to be able, that I know right now, to be able to take a bus.
Okay.
And we need some people to really, we really need some younger people to get in there.
Right.
Start taking over, because us old guys, we can't go so far.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Pray for that. And one more. Pray for, I just ask y'all to pray for my family in the whole, because I've got a lot of family. I've got brothers, sisters that are out of church. They walked away, they know the truth.
Yeah.
They just won't go back. I've got nieces and nephews that they're again, same situation. Supposedly got saved. Now you can't get them to come to church for a Sunday.
Right.
And I've got grandchildren that are older enough, and they have heard the gospel, but have not made a profession.
Okay.
They don't even say they're saved.
Yeah. Yep.
Them, the Lord will deal in their hearts.
It's important we pray for our family members, for the saved ones that they're serving the Lord, and for the lost ones that the Holy Spirit will convict them and someone will come into their life to present the gospel message. And it's heartbreaking at times because in my case, I've been saved since 1970, and praying for family members and nothing. And you can't keep badgering them. You just have to let the Lord take it and bring somebody into their life to deal with them. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Jimmy, you doing okay? Okay. John? Okay. All right. We're all set. One more?
One more. That old boy used to come here. They left and started going to Landis Baptist. We were in vacation Bible school the last night. I didn't know this. I wasn't told till after I got home. We got a phone call. He left here crying, wanting somebody. He was scared about going up and talking to somebody.
Yeah.
Want to know about salvation. And he's one of the kids that we were hoping would come this month.
Yeah.
And trying to pray, his name is Brian Agaton. And if y'all remember even little Brian, he's just a tall, skinny little thing now.
Okay.
But just pray that if they're still here in the land, that he will, somebody down there, or if they don't, I can get the opportunity to talk to him.
Okay.
Because I hate to see him miss an opportunity.
Yeah.
Saved.
Yeah. It's important that we reach the young ones. If you weren't there for VBS or any of the, it was a blessing. It was good. I got to go out with Mike and Scott, and I took them. I showed them all around Mooresville and that area and out there, and. We stopped at a pizza place, Alino's, in Mooresville, and they never had such a good pizza. It's all the equipment that they have, they brought in from Italy. All the flour, everything they use is imported from Italy. It is so good, so good. But I don't want to get your mind on food other than the Word of God right now. So, Ben, you've been away. You still able to pray?
I think so.
Okay.
If the Lord help me, I'm not
there. Okay, very good. Pray for us, please.
Father, we can't thank you enough. You've already blessed us, Lord, just giving us this morning. Just giving us the ability to get up and come to church is a blessing in itself. Lord.
Yes.
You know the need of our church folks. Lord, you just take us through everything. Help us with everything. We can't do anything without you, Lord. We do love you, and we thank you. And we thank you for Brother John just stepping up and being faithful and help us study the Word. I pray, Lord, that all hearts are open today and we take these words and use them in our life. Lord, we do thank you. Love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. All right, quick review. You've had the blessing of having someone else teach the last 2 weeks. So I'll do a quick review and then we'll get going and try and finish up one of these weeks on this lesson. We've been dealing with the flood, Genesis chapter 6, and how man was back then. And the sin that was throughout the world at the time, the known world, and what man was like, his nature was just sinful, rebellion against God. And we dealt with what they were doing and God's warning, and God warned them, you better get right or else judgment's coming. So God told Noah to build an ark, and that's where we're at now. And we're showing the likeness or similarities between the ark and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come up to the point now where there's only one way of salvation. It was back then, it was get into the ark or else you're doomed. Today, John chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus Christ says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, we're going to concentrate on Jesus Christ as the door. You do not get saved in this dispensation any other way than through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we get born again. We hear the gospel message, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Jesus Christ lived, he was crucified, died, and was buried, and he rose again. That's what you have to believe if you want to be saved. And then, according to Colossians, it's the blood that washes your sins away, because it's God's blood, not man's blood. And this is what people have to understand. It wasn't just some guy who shed his blood on the cross and his blood. No, it was God's blood. How do you know that? Timothy tells us God was manifest in the flesh, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. So his blood is the only thing that can wash your sins away. And once people get a grasp of that and believe that and call on the Lord, then they become born again. So I am the door. So it says he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, you've got another dispensation in there. Shall go in and out. The what we call the rapture takes us up when the Lord calls us and we go up. That's where we go in. Now, where do we go out? It's when the millennial reign takes place and we get our position in Christ's government and begin to rule and reign. That's where we go in and out. For the other people that go in and out, as you get into eternity and into the millennial reign, these people are going to have to come back and take of the tree of life once a month. And that's what that's dealing with. But we're not dealing with that now. You can check that out afterwards. So the ark was a finished work, according to Genesis 6:22, John 4:3, 17:4, and 19:30. And the Word of God says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Now, Noah is an example for you and I. Are we doing all that God tells us to do, and we know what he tells us to do by reading and studying his word, rightly divided? And so are we applying God's word to our lives daily, moment by moment, as we go through this life? So it's an example of perfect obedience, Genesis 7:5, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And as we examine our lives, as we go through this life, are we doing all that's required of us or told to us from the Word of God? And then John 4:34, Jesus Christ said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, we should apply that to our lives for a couple of reasons. We want to be obedient. We get the blessings. How great can that be? Just by being obedient to the Word of God, we get blessings from him. And then at the end, when we die and we appear at the judgment seat of Christ, that's when we receive our rewards. Now, wouldn't it be great if we could appear at the judgment seat of Christ and not see anything burned up? Amen. What a blessing that would be. Can you imagine? You'd be shouting for 1,000. Well, in eternity, there's no time, but you'd be shouting. But that's what you want. You want to get all that you can get because of your obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And so it's another great principle of life is we do His will, accomplish what we're here for. And what are you here for? Why does God have you here individually? Why does God have me here? Just to live out our life? Just to enjoy ourselves? Or to be a blessing to the Lord? We can be a blessing to the Lord. How? By living right, doing right, witnessing whenever He gives us the opportunity. And that's what we're here for. John 17:4 says, I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And wouldn't that be great if we get to the judgment seat of Christ and we could say that truthfully? I emphasize that because I know we come short. And it's hard sometimes to be what we should be all the time. Our human emotions get involved. There's times we don't want to do some things that the Lord wants us to do. We set priorities in our lives. What's important in your life? Example, when you wake up, first thing we should do is go to the Lord. Pray for people, pray for their salvation, whatever it is that the Lord's laid on your heart. And the Lord lays out how we should pray, too, and who we should pray for. And you need to know all that. So that's the first important thing should be in our lives is to get with the Lord, first of all, and then start your day from there. Go on from there. John 19:30 says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, now He's on the cross, okay, and he finished the work that God gave him to do, and now they crucified Him. And He says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, now He received it. Does that mean that He drank of that? And the vinegar, what is vinegar? I don't believe it's what we think vinegar is today. I think the vinegar then was sour wine. It was wine. So they offered Him that wine, and He either smelled it or maybe had a taste of it. You know, you put it on your tongue. And then later on it says He refused it. And then He says, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. Again, you've heard this over the years. Nobody killed the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave up the ghost. Amen. It was Him to complete the work so that you and I could have salvation. So He finished it and went into... He died, went into the grave, rose again. So the ark endured the storm from below and above, Genesis 7:11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, and the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. We can't even imagine this, the great deep. You know what the deep is when you read the beginning, we're surrounded by water. This whole universe is surrounded by water. And that was brought up. The windows of heaven were opened up. So you've got water coming up from the ground. You've got water coming down. And... I think I mentioned it before, it was about 7 foot per hour that water came down in order to cover the mountains at that time. So can you imagine that? The judgment that came. And that's when people started to realize, oh man, I should have listened. And it's too late. Soon as that trumpet sounds and we're out of here, they're going to realize, those that have heard the word, that, oh, I should have listened. Now I'm in for some real fun. Yeah. So the great deep, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And I got to shut my ringer off. Job 38:30 says, the waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Now, what do you see when there's a frozen deep up above us? And when you read about the third heaven and where God's throne is, he says it's like a mirror, glass, ice, pure, shiny. The second and the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the fountains also of the great deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. Genesis 8:2. And then you read in Malachi 3 and verse 10, bring all ye tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, for I will not open the windows of heaven, nor pour out the blessings, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, you'll hear many preachers preach on tithing today, and if you don't tithe, God's not going to bless you, the windows of heaven. That's not doctrinally for us, okay? But the illustration here is the windows of heaven. God can open them and still bless you today. And that's as a result, as I said, of our obedience. So Christ, he was a rejection of men and the wrath of God. You read that in Matthew 17 and Psalms 22, Psalm 69 and Psalms 88. Matthew 17:22, and says, while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. And it was, you know the story. Psalm 22 and verse 1 says, to the chief musician upon, whatever his name is, a psalm of David, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Can you imagine when a person who dies lost is cast into the lake of fire, the screaming, the pain, the agony? You're supposed to be a loving God. Why are you doing this to me? Actually, you did it to yourself. God provided you how many years of life? How many times did you hear the gospel message and you rejected it? You wanted to live your own life, your own way. Now, you made your choice. Unfortunately, you have to live with it for all eternity. Psalm 69, 1 and 2. To the chief musician upon Shoshamin, a psalm of David. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. Now, waters are figurative of overwhelming troubles and just keep coming. And David had a lot of problems in his life, if you ever studied David, the things that he went through. And he went to the Lord, what's going on here? Help me out. There's so much going on in my life. We get to that point once in a while, too. Things start happening in our lives, and we say, Lord, what's going on? And you start checking your life. Am I lined up with what the Word of God says? And if you are, you know that God can give you the grace to go through anything that comes your way, whatever it is. Accidents, death of a loved one, whatever. God will give you the grace to go through whatever it is. And thank God for that, because we all go through different things in our lives. So, verse 2, he says, I sink in the deep mire. Mire is figurative of sin and great troubles. So, you get involved in sin, and it's going to be a downward slide. But don't stay in sin. Get it confessed. Get it right. Get right with the Lord and start serving Him once again. Where there is no standing, I am. Come into the deep waters where the floods overflow me. And then Psalms 88 and verse 7 says, the wrath lieth hard upon me, or thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all the waves. Now, does God allow things in your life to try and get your attention, to get you right? Of course He does. You look back at your own life when you got involved in sin, things that happened to you, and God trying to call you back to serve Him. And that's what goes on in our lives. Now, when we read in Genesis 6:14, where when they built the ark, they used the pitch on the outside, pitch on the inside. Pitch is rendered to atone. So atonement comes and shelter comes when God puts that pitch. That our pitch is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're protected as long as we stay under the protection of God. Genesis 6:14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it, which is atonement, within and without, with pitch, redemption. And that's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the ark saved all who trusted in it. Everybody that got into the ark was saved. Now, back then it was saved from the flood. Today it's our sin. We're saved from the results of sin in our lives. 1 Peter 3:20 says, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. The long-suffering of God. How many times did God call you to be saved in your life before you finally got saved? I was 27 years old. I can't even think of how many times God worked in my life to present the gospel message before I got saved. And as you think back, you can see how merciful and loving God is by His long-suffering. While the ark was in preparing, now they had 200, we'll say they had 200 years because that's the indication there. It may be different, but we'll keep it there right now. The ark was in the preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. I don't know what the percentage is as far as the amount of people that there were upon the earth at that day compared to what there is today or when the rapture will take place, but there weren't very many. Now, we get the impression that when the rapture takes place, so many people are going to be gone. But I wonder about that. I wonder about that. We'll find out one day. Then Acts 16:30 and 31 says, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." What a blessing that is, knowing that we'll not come under condemnation. Romans, I think it's 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ." What a blessing that is. But keep it in the proper context. Don't use it as an excuse to get involved in sin. I can do what I want. I'm saved. I'm going to be with the Lord when I die. Be careful, because you're skipping ahead. You're missing the judgment seat. You're missing Galatians 6:7. You're going to reap what you sow. That's good and that's bad. But you better sow to the good. It's better to reap that than to reap the bad. John 10:28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Here you go with the people that say you can lose your salvation. That's a lie. It's God's work from the beginning. It's not my work. It's what God did in my life. Nobody's going to pluck me out of his hand. I've had people say, "Well, you can walk out of his hand." Oh, really? You can walk out of his hand? You know how big his hand is? It holds a universe. You're going to walk out of God's hand if you live 120 years. How far can you walk? Even if you don't sleep, you don't eat, you walk and you walk. You're not going to walk out of God's hand. Don't be dumb. Once you're born again, you're a child of God. You're not going anywhere except to be with Him. And then the ark. Ark is a type of Christ as a refuge of His people from judgment. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. In strictness application, it speaks of preservation through the great tribulation, Matthew 24. That's where it is doctrinally. It's taken God's people through the tribulation. But to us, practically, as I said, it's being in Christ. We're protected. We're saved eternally. In Matthew 24, 21 and 22, the remnant of Israel who will turn to the Lord after the church, which is typified of Enoch. And if you've ever studied that, Enoch was taken out. The church is going to be taken out. Who was translated to heaven before the judgment, the flood came, has been caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And you can read about that, Genesis 5, 1 Thessalonians 4, Hebrews 11, Isaiah 2, and so forth. But the type also has a present reference to the pollution, or to the position, position of the believer in Christ, Ephesians 1. And it should be noted that the word translated is also the word pitch in Genesis 6:4. So there's, when you start comparing Scripture with Scripture, you start learning an awful lot. So we have God's invitation today. Genesis 7:1, they had it then. God invited, "Come thou." That was open to everybody. Today it is, "You must be born again," open to everybody. Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let us, let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that thirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Now that's doctrinally, you have to know what that is, but it's the Lord saying, Come. And then you have the explanation, which is Hebrews 11:7, "By faith, Noah, And you read that by faith, by faith, by faith. Faith is believing what God says and acting upon it. You can't check it all out. Like I've said before, this pew can hold me. But you check it all out. You make sure it's solid. Not with God. God says it, you believe it. And that's the way it goes. Come unto me. And you see so many times where God says, come. And then by faith, and what happens? God's judgment comes, and there's ends up two classes of people, the saved and the lost, which you know. And the question for us today, and probably not many in here, because most of us, hopefully, prayerfully, are saved, is, are you saved? And so take the word out to the lost people. Do your job. Don't worry about results. God gives the results. And we'll finish up with that. Danny, pray for us, please.
Father, we come to you with such grateful hearts and thank you, Father, that our prayers are heard and acceptable to you, Father, that you answer them, and that you give us joy, Father, and that give you